Hello, and welcome to another episode of the greatest podcast you've never heard of, The Common Geeking Program.
If they've never heard of it, how are they listening?
Shush. We are a quasi-book club for geek culture that we all pick something to bring to the table and talk about it. So this week, I have chosen the topic of Westworld. Oh shit, I did this out of order. This is why I should follow the script. We're just going to cut that part out. So, each episode...
Fix it in post.
Each episode, the host, which is me, picks a topic that we all discuss from all of these different perspectives. And joining me this episode are...
Shit, it's definitely my turn. I'm telling you, I'm like on another planet today. Oh, God. My name is Blob today. And today I will be representing the TV show Star Trek Voyager, but I will specifically be talking about the character Seven of Nine. And yeah.
Her name was Blobbert Paulson. Her name was Blobbert Paulson.
Also, I'm Laura, just in case you didn't say yeah.
I'm Austin, as usual.
AKA Late Meister.
True.
Anyway, I'm going to be representing the Earthsea series by Ursula K. Le Guin.
Ooh, good series.
It's a very hardcore name.
Yeah, she's fucking awesome.
She was fucking awesome.
She lives on.
I thought you said she died.
I said I wasn't quite sure, but I wouldn't have blamed her if she had been dead by this point. She's really old if she's not.
Yeah. You wouldn't have blamed her.
It's like, fuck that bitch for dying.
That's how I felt about Diana Wynne Jones.
So, hi. My name is Colin. Now, I have not told anybody what I'm representing, because I am representing Westworld.
You fucking piece
you
of shit.
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
From 1973.
Oh, you're doing that.
The original movie upon which the HBO series is based.
You mean the book that put the movie on the map and then put the TV show
well, it
on
was,
the map?
It was the same guy. It was Michael Crichton. Crichton. There you go.
100% Crichton.
Yeah. 100% Crichton. All right. Episode title established very early on.
You're kind of the worst. I didn't even say that we were talking about Westworld yet.
Yes,
asshole.
You did. You absolutely did.
I said we were going to cut that out.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
For the record, Ursula K. Le Guin is still going strong. Just looked it up. She's not dead yet. It's good stuff.
So, the world is nice. I am your host, Patrick Brem. For this episode's topic, I have selected Westworld. Da, 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 da,
you ripped off da, my domain. Da, da,
da, I picked this topic because there's been
it's a fucking great show
yeah. But additionally there's been this kind of like rise in nudity and sex in TV shows, and in some shows it feels like they kind of just shove it in there because they want to do it, and it doesn't really add anything to the story, but in my opinion Westworld uses it in a very clever and cool way, so we're gonna talk about that.
Let's talk about sex,
baby.
Wait, I need my insulin. It's really important.
Okay, don't die.
Wait, for your presentation or for your survival?
Wait, how are you going to use it in your presentation?
Are you going to use it to talk about Borg implants?
Interesting.
Oh, and your blood glucose monitor?
Maybe.
And how you are secretly the most sexual Star Trek fan in the world?
There's probably a lot of role-playing sex in the Trekkie community.
I feel like there has to be. Like, all that Klingon shit?
Yeah.
I had somebody ask me if I wanted Star Trek shit.
Oh.
And I'm like, I'm good. You can leave that outside of this part of my life. Like, that's okay.
So the one part Colin is not into Star Trek is when it comes to sex.
Listen, I'm a fucking nerd.
Are you saying you wouldn't fuck an alien?
Actually, what he said is that he's a fucking nerd, so.
Since when are you a fucking nerd? I don't know of any ladies in your life.
That shit is secret.
I'm incredibly hurt.
Why do you always take it personally when I have any sort of development and you don't know about it?
Because I'm supposed to be your best friend.
Yes,
and you forgot that I was in Arizona.
That did.
I just feel you slipping away, okay, Colin? And I just need to latch. I need to latch on and hold on to whatever I can. So, in that spirit, the whole purpose of the Westworld show, Westworld itself is an amusement park within the show. And this amusement park is designed for people who have kind of a lot of money to come and explore their wildest desires. So
conspicuous lack of roller coasters. I think there should have been more horses just attached to rails.
So back to the point of Westworld, these people pay a lot of money to come to this town, which is inhabited by things known as hosts. These hosts are very lifelike robots, almost.
Androids?
They're androids. They're androids.
An android is a robot that looks like a person. Yeah, thank you. They have a vast array of jobs and emotions that they can display, and they're designed to be as lifelike as possible. However,
like people,
they are not allowed to actually hurt any of the guests in Westworld.
Bunch of bitches. You think I don't go on roller coasters to see how many bruises I get when I walk off?
Yeah.
Man the fuck up.
I feel like you're doing it wrong.
No, some roller coasters are just pretty bad.
Inevitably, people in the amusement park like to get a little rowdy, have some fights, end up killing some of the hosts.
I could be as good or as bad as I felt like being.
When these hosts are killed, they are pulled out of the park. They are fixed in an underground laboratory in which they are stripped of all their clothes.
Bring them back online.
Kind of sterile and like futuristic. There are glass cases all over the place. And there's just a bunch of naked robots chilling, inactive, non-emotional, what so have you. The thing about the way Westworld uses nudity is that you never see a real person naked ever in the entirety of the show. Not a single guest or real world person outside of Westworld is ever completely nude. Only the robots.
It's like a good fuck. Half is worse than none at all.
So they kind
of... No, I think, don't you see the lady who comes from HQ?
Nope, she puts a robe on.
Yeah, but like she starts the scene naked.
I don't think so.
I mean, you see her butt.
Yeah.
She's like...
You never see full frontal nudity on somebody who is not a robot.
Hi, guys.
You can see her ass. That doesn't count. So the... there is one specific host... That kind of goes through this transformation. Her name is Maeve.
Hey, Pat.
And if I wanted something, I could just reach out and take it.
She starts out as the owner.
Pat is unflappable.
What?
Hi.
Jeff just fucking joined the call.
Jeff, get the fuck out of here.
It's my birthday.
I don't care. We're trying to fucking record an episode.
Okay, bye. Amazing.
I already said happy birthday to you.
I'm glad it was this happy.
God damn.
Did he really just leave?
Yes, yeah. I told him to leave.
Oh, gosh.
Fucking Christ. Anyway, this character named Maeve starts out as the owner of a brothel. So through this, we find out that she actually used to be almost a pioneer out in the...
Yeah, like a homesteader.
Yeah, she's a homesteader. She had a daughter. That daughter was taken from her / killed, and everything about her life changed.
It's a difficult thing, realizing your entire life is some hideous fiction.
After that moment, they repurposed her as this brothel lady. She was not supposed to have any memory of being a homesteader, but...
Give yourself now to a deep, dreamless slumber.
They kind of fucked up, and what's his name? The main dude, what is his fucking name?
And tomorrow... This will be simply a distant dream.
Ford.
Not
Ford.
Arnold.
Dr. Ford.
Anthony Ford Hopkins. Odin. The all-father of Westworld.
Dr. fucking Ford.
Hannibal Ford.
Puts forth
Ford Lecter.
An update. I'm going to kill you, Colin.
I know you will.
Puts forth an update in which the hosts start to have memories. He calls them like reveries. And this starts to fuck with all of the brain wipes that they have done. And they start to remember things that have happened in the past.
The reveries were the idea of his old partner, Arnold, who wanted to help create sentience.
Yeah. Not just really elaborate sex toys.
This person, Arnold, was really trying to guinea pig it on Evan Rachel Wood's character.
I'm in a dream.
Whose name is...
Dolores.
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 That's right, Dolores.
Dolores Abernathy.
The most boring fucking name ever.
No, it's not. Dolores.
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 Dolores Abernathy.
It's got so much topography.
So Dolores was supposed to be the guinea pig for all of this.
Oh my, how do you hit on people like ever, Austin? Ooh, that name. So typographic. Ooh.
No, that. Okay, never mind. We're fine.
Maeve was kind of like an unsung hero in the show, in the sense that she wasn't supposed to be like a main focus of this update, but she just kind of rolls with it, and she ends up like showing the viewer a lot about
her tits,
how Westworld kind
of
works.
Sorry, I'm part of the problem.
Aren't you gonna take your clothes off?
Well, I would, darling, but by the time I got down to my knickers, I suspect you'd be done anyway.
She's naked, like you can see full frontal nudity on her, but as she grows as a character. What?
Austin giggles with delight.
No, I just like the concept of like being able to see full frontal nudity on something. Like it's a quality that can be projected onto a person instead of like.
I mean, it just like
the opposite of that.
As she has these reveries, she's trying to like find out more about her past, and in the process, she kind of like somehow transcends her controls. When these hosts are not in Westworld, they get controlled by like these iPad type things. Maeve somehow bypasses her sleep mode and starts to...
Isn't that just caffeine?
Yeah, she kind of blackmails the technicians who are trying to put her back
into
together.
Into giving her a whole pack of Red Bull.
So,
you can't hurt me with this. You can't hurt anyone.
Can't I?
She blackmails them and has them upgrade a lot of her abilities so that when she goes back into Westworld...
Red Bull XL.
She can do a better job of figuring out what's going on.
I think it's an upgrade, though, in the same sense that Tesla upgraded everyone's batteries when the hurricane hit, in that it's not really an upgrade so much as it's, like, removing software limiters.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Mm. So they just raised her like, percentages on some of her abilities past 12% or something. As the story goes on, Maeve starts to become more and more sentient, I guess, and she starts to exhibit more of a free will. Like, she can't be as controlled as the other hosts. And throughout the process of her growing into a sentient person, she becomes nude less and less. There's one particular scene that kind of like stuck out to me. Okay, she gets Felix to take her on a tour of the facility, and normally she would be nude for this.
Oh, but yeah. But she's in like a gown or something.
Yeah.
So it kind of like pushes her more toward the sentience there, and she is fully sentient at this point, but she's pretending to be controlled by Felix. So it's this really weird scene where like you can see she's trying to stay neutral, but she's like being really curious and like looking around.
And also horrified.
So she's horrified at watching all of these naked hosts just be operated on and like their arms coming off and all this
and
other
like
stuff.
Mind controlled and shit.
Yeah, and there's like a giant pile of them. Yeah.
So additionally, as the show goes on, we also start to see Dolores naked a lot less. In some scenes when they take her out of Westworld, she was naked in like the operating rooms and they were doing some analyses on her. And then as it goes on, we either don't see her outside of Westworld anymore, or when she's in these situations, she's clothed.
Mm.
I think that the show kind of uses the nudity to try to show who is not real. And then kind of uses it in a way to confuse you later by clothing the hosts that are becoming sentient. Every time he's been in what some weird article I read deemed appropriate post-sex attire... which was boxer briefs and a t-shirt. So
that's not good, like, during sex attire. No wonder I don't have interesting stories to tell you.
Yeah, typically at least no underwear.
At least.
But
no, that's part of the fun. You got to challenge. You got to power through.
Oh.
I mean, there is a hole in dude's underwear, but like.
I can't look at any of you anymore.
I was having a perfectly okay conversation here, Laura. What the fuck?
I just can't.
So. In contrast to a show like Game of Thrones, which kind of just throws the sex in because, like, hey, look, we're HBO. We can have naked people. I think Westworld kind of uses it as a plot device.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, we're HBO. Here's a plot device.
They trick the viewer into thinking they understand what's going on whenever they see a naked person. And then they're like, whoa, we just got fucked in the brain.
And where did they get fucked?
It's kind of a like symbolic Garden of Eden shit going on there.
Yeah, it's kind of like they were growing up and becoming like going from a naked baby into a full fledged and dressed person.
Okay.
I think it's a good place to end it. I like that statement.
<That's great>. Yeah.
Let's do Austin first.
Yes.
Yeah,
keep Laura in the middle. This is like a Laura sandwich.
Ooh.
Yeah, so the Earthsea series is a bunch of fantasy novels written by Ursula K. Le Guin that are set in like this huge archipelago world that's just like a shit ton of islands where a bunch of people live.
I believe it's called Archipelago.
Actually, if it's how I pronounced it while playing Civilization, it's Archipelagio. So there's that.
Darth Archipelago. I don't know. Anyway,
Darth Archipelago. So.
It's a fantasy series that's about this one super famous wizard that lives in the islands, the histories of this place and some stories and stuff. But the reason that I brought it here was because sexuality as it is addressed in her books is really interesting. I know that some people just like don't really address characters having sexual lives at all, especially in a lot of fantasy that's known as pretty good. You know, Tolkien never really talks about anyone sleeping with anyone else except when he talks about lineages, mm-hmm. and he can't get away without it.
Even then, he doesn't describe the sex, he just describes parentage.
Yeah, begat, that kind of shit. There's definitely some influence from, like, medieval European ideas of magic connected to the church, like Ars Magica type shit, where, like, in Earthsea, the magic is very gendered, first of all. There are wizards and mages and shit who are, like, men who go to schools to learn magic, where they learn, like, the old language that can name everything in the world and that controls everything because it is the first language. And there are witches who are just mostly, like, self-taught women who have like some magical aptitude, but allegedly, according to a lot of the wizards and the narrators of these stories, their magic is less efficient and a lot more based in like superstition and stuff than like the actual wizards with all of their authority and stuff.
But this is sounding like a load of sexist bullshit.
Yeah,
I know we're not talking about sexism, we're talking about sexuality, but they both have sex.
Don't worry, we're gonna move straight through sexism right to the real stuff soon.
Hoped every feminist ever.
An interesting thing about how the characters in the world view magic is that like it's this commonly held belief, which the narrators never confirm, that like if a wizard has sex, he like loses his magical aptitude. But that's not a thing for witches. They can do whatever they want.
This sounds like some propaganda trying to get people to be celibate.
I mean, kind of. It's kind of like religious orders and stuff.
What if it's like, you know, where certain things, you know, unfortunately how Star Wars ties things to midichlorians, maybe in these books magic is tied to
your sperm,
sexual glands.
I was going to say spermichlorians?
Spermichlorians.
But it's like in Mean Girls. It's like the coach is just like,
don't have sex because you will get pregnant and die.
Don't have sex because you'll lose your magic and die.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I mean, There comes a point later in the series.
Oh, there does come a point.
Yep, finally. It takes a number of books.
before someone has sex?
A number of books.
Before someone relevant to the plot has sex within the view of the reader.
Don't have sex in the missionary position. Don't have sex standing up.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So for the first three books, when we're talking about this wizard and his adventures, the books are all in like this very high mimetic tone where it sounds like you're talking about like legendary characters, heroes fighting monsters and doing crazy things and stuff. But in the fourth book that I've read, Tehanu, the story is very more down to earth and everyone is shown as being like very human and everyone has flaws and fears and stuff, and it explores people's psychology more explicitly and stuff. And when these two characters that we've known from before have sex, it's like opposite to how sexuality and nudity is used in Westworld. I think it humanizes the characters a lot and makes them like a lot more believable in certain ways. She's not writing porn, but it's just like, oh, these are two people who are looking for a human connection, and because one of the people was formerly a wizard but lost his powers through other means, it's something that he wasn't part of this before, and now like, oh, he's a real boy, that kind of shit going on.
I'm a real boy.
Yeah,
man, I hope boy is not the term they're using in this context.
Boy.
Also, it would have been hard, I think, for her to write the scene as porn because these people are both like at least 50 years old. Definitely, he's definitely older. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Anything's a porn if you try hard enough. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just don't do it. Promise? Okay, everybody take some rubbers.
I'm uncomfortable.
The porn is in the eye of the beholder.
By the D-holder.
Eye of the D-holder?
Oh, come on, guys. I said it. Why are you laughing when Pat says it?
We're right now it is young Laura's turn.
Ooh, that's me.
Who was that?
Could you please go on with that voice for the entire podcast?
Laura the librarian.
Today I shall be talking about Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, wait, you're doing Janeway, because she sounds awful.
I would never do Janeway.
Neither would Chakotay. But there we go.
So I'm talking about Star Trek Voyager today, and I'm talking about Seven of Nine as a character.
To the newest member of our crew.
So for those of you that have not watched Star Trek, Seven of Nine is a female human who was captured by the Borg at a very young age. The Borg are a cybernetic race who...
Can I just copy and paste your description of the Borg from episode 37, just right here?
They're organic, and they assimilate people with robotic enhancements, and then they try to assimilate everybody, and they have a shared hive mind.
You are part of a vast consciousness, billions of minds working together. A harmony of purpose and thought.
They're very, like, gray and have weird fucking metal pieces sticking out of all the places.
Implants.
Including her vagina.
Well, here's the thing. We never see that, but if you look at what they do to their arms and faces...
Probably.
Wouldn't you see it through the pants if it's, like, a bunch of spiky metal shit? I feel like it would be hard to hide that.
Okay, well, Laura, how do they make her look normal?
Janeway saves her from the Borg. She disconnects her from the hive mind, and their journey together, her journey as a character, is to become more human and to learn how to be an individual.
This drone is small now. Alone.
They, like, take the shit out of her face. They leave some of her implants and her cortical node, which controls...
It's like, why does she have shit in her face?
Like, they remove their eyeballs and put an ocular implant, and it sticks out like a fucking telescope a little bit.
What have you done to me?
There's no way that that's going to be attractive to a human because it's very disfigured and brings up terrible memories of the Borg trying to assimilate everyone. And so they remove all the implants except for just a couple very tasteful little pieces of metal on her face that just frame her face beautifully. But the doctor does some like hinky dinky pinky spinky and makes her face look pretty.
You want to clarify that?
Those are dermoplastic grafts. They'll help the regeneration process.
Is a very shapely woman.
Yeah, what show did you say this was from again?
Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, this is what's going to make him watch Star Trek. Why Voyager? Fuck you. Fuck
whatever.
All of you.
Whatever works, right?
She's hot, man. What can I say?
She's got these ridiculous hard plastic boobs and a very, very, very tight outfit on all the time. And so she's like immediately.
For the four seasons that Jerry Ryan was on the show playing this character, she was like, nah, I just couldn't breathe for 4 years. I'm like,
oh.
Wow, that is, yep, very form-fitting.
And she has a lot of form to fit to.
Yeah, I totally believe that. And Jerry Ryan is, like, a beautiful person. Like, she's got this great blonde hair, and, like, her lips are the fucking size of the universe. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
That actually sounds kind of horrifying, objectively speaking.
They're not that big.
And she's got, like, beautiful eyes. Like, she's a beautiful person. And so when Seven of Nine comes on as character and like the doctor regrows her hair and everything, she immediately becomes an object of most people's
desire.
Are you talking about like viewers or characters? Sorry.
Both. For sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I was talking about characters, but definitely both.
And people who aren't even viewers yet.
And I want to talk specifically for a moment.
I hate you, Pat.
About the episode that I watched most recently, which is called Q2.
Oh, God. Yep.
Another character like puts a son on whatever. But the son has powers to control space and time around him. And so he's going around being like a teenage douchebag. And he is talking to Seven of Nine. And like his reaction to her is to remove all of her clothing to try to like spark a reaction out of her. And she just, like, stands there and is like, I don't give a fuck.
If you're attempting to embarrass me, you won't succeed.
I'm just observing humanity.
There's also another moment really early on in her tenure where she's in, like, a Jeffries tube with Ensign Harry Kim.
This is tricky stuff. It could use your touch.
And he's, like, nervous because she's so attractive.
And I see the way your pupils dilate when you look at my body.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And then she's like, oh, this means we must fuck, right? Let's fuck. And I'm just like, all right, Star Trek just turned into a really low quality porno.
Fuck!
Are you in love with me, Ensign?
Well, no.
They didn't say that. Fuck. It was UPN. They didn't say fuck.
So that she was like, we must copulate.
Then you wish to copulate?
No!
And Harry's like, dinner first, please? So they definitely use her sexuality and her interpersonal relationships to highlight how inhuman she is and how it is such a struggle to become human.
Sexuality is particularly complex.
But I thought it was really interesting that you were talking about having the hosts be unclothed kind of represented them as being inhuman. And when Seven of Nine was like forced to be naked in front of somebody else, like her reaction was not what a standard humans would be. Like she just had no emotional reaction to it. And it really highlights the fact that she is not quite there yet.
Woo! Awesome. And right on
well,
time.
Thank you for giving me yet another reason to start watching Star Trek.
Oh, hey, no problem.
I will get started immediately.
Patrick, don't you mean two reasons?
No.
The boobs. They're two boobs.
Yeah. Okay. But like, I think of her as an entire person.
As one
okay?
boob. He thinks of her as one boob.
I don't just see That's her good. For her figure, Colin. I see her as a person.
Well, I see her as a Borg. So.
Yeah. Are you saying you wouldn't fuck a Borg? Well,
oh, no.
If it's like a ton of Borg and they're all having sex, is that an orgy or is it masturbation?
No, it's a Borgy.
All right, that's okay. Where that ends.
There's so many episode titles, fuck.
Colin, why don't you come up with a good reason as to why you decided to steal my domain/topic
steal
as your domain?
Steal nothing. My movie came before your television show. So I'm going to lose points on the fact that I was having a really hard time. Sexuality is not a primary concern or motivating factor in why I watch things.
Colin doesn't fuck.
There's porn for that. I'm not going to represent a porn star. So
I just feel like I watch a lot of shit that has sexuality in it, whether or not I'm looking for it.
It's part of the human experience.
It is, but that's not what draws me into a narrative.
Well, that's certainly not why I watch Star Trek Voyager.
No,
but doesn't mean I can't find a relationship.
That's not why I started reading those books.
Oh my God.
I was a child.
I want to say words. So I was having trouble picking something, and I just decided to go for the obvious thing because I figured sexuality is such a critical part of the HBO series narrative that I wanted to see what it drew upon. And Westworld, the movie in 1973, written and directed by Michael Crichton, also writer of Jurassic Park novel and movie, as I found out in my research. So Westworld in 1973 takes place in largely the same kind of setting, though in the Westworld series, they only talk about Westworld. They don't talk a lot about the company Delos that runs it, or the fact that there are other worlds within here, other amusement world. Whereas in the very beginning of Westworld, it starts with a crappy, hammy ad that's just like, for $1,000 a day, you can come to Delos Resorts and stay at Roman World, Medieval World, or Westworld.
Just got back from Westworld. Tell us how you liked it, Mr. Lewis.
Which they call Western World for a lot of the movie, even though the movie is called Westworld, Western World. But in that ad, there's a woman who walks up because the guy's just like, how did you like your stay at Westworld? And it's fantastic. I felt so alive. And then this woman comes up and says, hi, what's your name? My name's Jane. Where were you? I was at Roman World.
What is the one thing that stands out in your mind about Roman World?
Oh, well, I think it would be the man.
And she walks away and I'm like, all right.
Okay.
Well, you know what she did. And that's the last time a human woman ever has any really part in the movie. There are, like, no human women after that. It is 1973, after all. But basically, you follow the characters of John and Peter. John's been to Westworld many times. Peter has not. They're very much like Logan and Will in the series. Mm. And as they come in, they explore the place. You know, they're like, hey, let's go to the brothel. Where the fucking brothel owner, like the analog for Maeve, is played by Majel Barrett, also known as Majel Barrett Roddenberry from
yes.
fucking Star Trek, player of no less than four characters, fewer than four characters. But
amazing.
But basically, Peter's like super nervous. And the moments that he really starts to gain his characterization as kind of like letting loose and having fun is when he fucks a robot whore. And when he shoots a guy dressed in all black, a man in black named the Gunslinger.
Dark Tower?
When he gets locked in jail and then they blow up the wall to break him out. And he's having a blast. He's like, this is the best thing in my life. And visually, like the show Westworld draws from this movie very, very closely. And they have kind of like a backstage area where they're working on robots and they're all just like, hey.
Androids?
In the movie, they just say robots or robots. Those are the two things that they say explicitly. Host is not a term. Android is not a term. And the robots are getting worked on, and the people running the park comment on the fact that they're malfunctioning more and more. And we start to see instances of this. In medieval world, like a waitress named Daphne gets hit on by a guest and says no. And the guys are like, oh, she's not supposed to resist a sexual advance from a guest. And then a rattlesnake bites John. And then they get back to the town, and that black gunslinger comes back and just approaches them, Peter and John, after, you know, they killed him earlier. Mm-hmm. And just shoots John dead because all the safeties are off. Everything to protect them is gone. And now everything's fucking running amok. And you see this montage of Romans just fucking stabbing each other.
Nice.
I'm like, all right, well, I mean, like, you kind of went one note there on drawing from any sort of Roman culture, but okay.
Nero.
But then the rest of the movie after John dies... Not at the end, though. He's chased by Peter's chased by the gunslinger. And that the rest of it is kind of like a monster chase movie. And that's really what the rest of it is. And the themes of humanity and consciousness and morality found in the HBO reimagining are largely absent here. And it exists more as a cautionary tale and a thought experiment. It shows dangers of technology, but specifically Crichton wanted to warn against corporate greed. There's a scene where the people running the park are like, hey, this is dangerous. We should clear people out, right? And they're like, nah, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
That does sound a lot like Jurassic Park.
Yeah. And,
well, yeah.
And because of that, the sexuality is pretty subdued. It's only mentioned in a few spots, like with the robot whores, where Peter fucks the robot who has shimmering eyes, which indicates failure. That lady in the beginning got a real good visit with Nero burning down her villages. And when Daphne refused sexual advances. Now, it's not really portrayed as a fantasy, though. In this movie, the problem with it was every instance of sex, aside from the thing with Jane, was nothing about like what sex did for men, aside from Peter feeling emboldened. Everything was just women owe sex to men. They even say machine...
Boy, machines are the servant of man. Wasn't that great?
And the fact that Daphne's resistance to sex... was like seen as a problem. Like they're contextually it makes sense, and I think the reason I decided to stick with this after realizing that there isn't a lot of sex in this movie was I wanted to see how the same story and setting kind of evolved the idea. And I thought it was really fun to notice that the themes in this are about warning and greed and danger, and the themes in the HBO show are about like humanity and consciousness and growth. And it almost feels like the idea has matured just along with the culture that has produced this stuff around it. But I guess I wanted to look at the broader focus because of the different cultural meaning of the thing at hand. That's it. I think I got into this domain for the wrong reasons, but I ended up being pretty compelled by the contrast.
Nice.
It's okay, Colin. A lot of people fuck for the wrong reason.
What's the right reason?
End up being a little too compelled.
The right reason is love.
All right. Well, we just learned
actually
a lot about
there's no right reason. You can fuck wherever you want. It's America.
I feel like there should be like the stated as long as it's consensual.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm gonna be affirmative consent. When you say
I had to say that.
Consent.
Yeah. 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 I'm saying as long as the person is willing and you're also willing, there's no wrong reason to fuck. Talk some questions.
Welcome to the discussion.
You've made it. Congratulations.
Those are some pretty interesting domains, except Colin. I would like to ask our very first question to none other than Austin Liebers. What's your middle name, Austin?
Thank you very much. Charles.
Charles. I think I knew that.
Yeah, you did.
All right. So, Austin Cakes, I want to talk to you about sexuality.
Oh, yeah?
In stories.
Laura, yeah. I think you and I should duck out.
And nudity. So, I think that among other things, such as using nudity to show who is a robot and who isn't a robot, I also think that Westworld kind of uses nudity as a way to desexualize naked bodies in general, because most of the time when someone's naked, it's not in a sexual manner.
It's in like a hyper sterile manner, actually.
Yeah. Would you say that the use of sex in your story, which has a vastly complicated name that I could never remember.
Earthsea.
Yeah, it's just two words. Earthsea. It's like a... what do you call those?
It's basically
it's like
just
the land and the
it's
ocean.
It's just a portmanteau. Yeah, yeah.
So, good. Land ocean. In the land ocean. So, do you think that the author Ursula's use of sex is kind of in a way just to show that sex is super normal and not something that should be taboo.
I think she's not trying to like change people's opinions about sex or sexuality or nudity as so much as she was just trying to show that like sex and emotional attachments to sexual partners and stuff are like a part of the human experience that wizards and like these people in authority were missing out on because like they thought, or maybe because they would lose their power over the elements and stuff if they had sex with people. But it's also, it's like implied that that belief of theirs is kind of bullshit, because there are definitely witches who definitely have sex with people, like just for pleasure. They're like, yeah, I'll have sex with this dude. And like
the dolphins of the wizarding world.
Yeah.
You're a wizard, Harry.
You're a dolphin, Harry.
I want to bring that back to like a real world example. There are some politicians treat sex as something that should be like outlawed almost. Like Mike Pence won't even be in the same room as another woman unless his wife is present.
Which is so awkward. Can I actually answer your question with Voyager?
Yeah, you can.
There was another episode where Seven of Nine starts up a holodeck program where she can try to interact with the crew more in a casual manner and like sets up her own quarters and like.
So instead of just going to talk to the crew, she fakes talking to the crew.
Holodecks are just isn't a really that what good we starting all do? Ground.
I don't set up simulations of you guys and talk to them. No.
Hold on, let me not click on this sexy singles in your areas ad. X that out.
All right. So she creates this whole simulation of the crew and starts essentially a dating relationship with the Commander Chakotay hologram. So she's like starting to go on dates to figure out if she can date and like what that feels like to not be super awkward yet.
I'm confusing it with the Doctor's Family episode, my bad.
And there's also an earlier episode where she goes on dates and it was really, really bad. But this was much more like natural, like her actually seeming like she was, you know, taking on more traditional human traits and like being a little more casual. And it gets to a point where she has like a very sensual interaction with hologram Chakotay.
Bravo. You approve.
Approve? I'm amazed.
But something goes wrong with her implants and she can't, like, she basically like shuts down essentially. And she goes to the doctor and she's like, what just happened to me? Like, I think something went wrong. And he still runs a whole simulation. Bunch of tests. No, she goes to the actual doctor.
The real doctor.
Who is a hologram.
Who is a hologram in the real world. Let's just make that less confusing.
And so she goes to him to run a whole bunch of simulations and he comes back with the results that because she still has the cortical implant of the Borg, which is controlling a lot of her systems, it shuts down if she gets too heightened emotionally. And so then she has to deal with the reality that she will never be able to essentially love anybody like that because her Borg implants will literally just stop it from happening.
This drone is small now. Alone.
I'm getting sad remembering the episode as you describe it.
But she could have emotionless sex, though.
She should get a Tinder.
Like, she could, but that doesn't, like, give anything to her. She has no...
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like,
no,
sense
I'm just...
pleasure to derive from that is not emotion.
I picked the wrong time to make that Tinder joke, man. I thought it was funny.
We could just slide it in a little later in editing.
Yeah, just slide it in there, Colin.
But I thought it was really interesting that... It used, you know, they shove her sexuality and her sexual desirability in your face so often that to have her come into an actual sexual interaction with a character that she is starting to have feelings for, whether or not it was real, doesn't necessarily matter in this moment. And to have that kind of switched around to all of a sudden she feels like she's never going to be human because she can't experience that without like literally shutting down. And it was actually a very humanizing moment, but then it immediately just switched it right over that like she will never be fully human because of it. And it was just a really like interesting episode, I thought.
So I actually want to draw that into the point I was making about like the culture and how
we're going through a question round with only one question. I like it.
Yeah. Well, it's a good question. It's because if you look at like, it actually spaced out pretty. You got 1973. That episode was 2000, maybe ish. I think 1999, 2000, and then Westworld was 2016. And they're all kind of reflective of their cultures in a way where the new Westworld is obviously trying to incorporate trying to make sure that it's not heteronormative, trying to make sure that it's not confusing sexuality with gender identity, and it's just polarizing things to make sure each idea is discussed healthily. I don't think that Star Trek's discussion of sexuality ever got nuanced enough to that point.
Yeah.
For the amount of things I've watched from that era, to see something discuss sex as a part of your core personality in such an interesting way, and specifically about a robotic person. The difference between her and the host is she is mostly human, and then seeing how that plays off. Whereas looking, I mean, obviously at the original Westworld, I mean, you've got Daphne asserting personality and free will, and she refuses sexual advances. But I think it's kind of wasted on the fact that they never go really any further than that. And I don't know, I like seeing the progression of these things and how they actually show the reflection of our values as American society.
Yeah, and I think that what you're talking about, Laura, when you're saying that she goes, well, what the fuck is the point then? And then she, like, thinks that she'll never be human for. I mean, I don't know how her character develops more throughout the series, but, like, I think that's also symptomatic of this issue that we have as Americans with sex and sexual relationships, where it's like viewed as the most important relationship that you can have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have it, you're not fully human. Slash, do asexual people exist? I don't know. They're still humans, I think. I don't know. Just like, shit's crazy. Yeah.
And that's totally to Colin's point, where like, I don't think that was really a discussion in 1999 mm-hmm. or 2000, or not nearly as much of a discussion as it is now. And what's crazy is that there isn't much more development of that character, because it's towards the end of the seventh season, which is the last season of Voyager. So there's not a whole lot more time for her to grow.
God damn. That was such a good question, though.
Good quality question,
such
Pat.
A good question.
Yeah. Fucking good job.
I give you
Patrick.
All the gold star student already. That was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except Colin.
Yeah. All right. I know I disqualified myself, but it's fine.
But maybe you can redeem yourself with this question coming right at you. Okay. So,
right at my face.
First, I have to preface it with I have never seen the original Westworld movie, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I've never read it either. So, I just want to know how big of a part the sentience plays in the original Westworld movie.
Very small. It's only hinted at. We see those hints of free will, such as the snake defending itself, Daphne resisting the advance, and the gunslinger exhibiting agency and hunting down the people who killed him. But it is never actually a topic of discussion. It's only a 90-minute movie, so.
Yeah. I guess what I'm curious about is if there's even kind of like one of those aha moments where you see a character who was previously vulnerable and like naked almost. I did some air quotes right there for the listeners.
Whoosh, whoosh.
They were more for us, really.
Yeah. So I meant like
Blue Laura, right back.
So I wanna know if there's like an aha moment or like a gotcha or something like that in the Westworld movie where you see one of these characters like start to break the mold of what is set out for them. But like, I guess you just told me that in the sense that the gunslinger and all of them.
Yeah, the way that the movie actually shows it, it's the thing that slowly unfolds throughout the movie.
Yeah, I guess what I wanna say is like, what do they kinda use as their motivation? Rather than showing you little snippets of them getting more clothed and less vulnerable, like what do they use in Westworld the movie to show that they're getting this agency?
The biggest thing that they use is the eyes, and it's never discussed explicitly, but they do show the internals of the robots and how they're upgrading them, and whenever they seem to be exhibiting free will, their eyes begin to shimmer. So again, with sexuality basically being a tool in here, which I would argue it's also just a tool in the HBO series, just to a larger extent, it's just a tool to push forward the storytelling, but in fewer moments. And the shimmering is really the big thing. I think the moment that stood out to me is when Daphne, the maiden in medieval world, kind of shrugged off, said no, slapped the guy in the face and walked out of the room. Like, that's not supposed to happen. I think that was the first time that you really realized how widespread this is, because it was the first time seeing someone besides the gunslinger really be weird. And I mean, if you compare this 90 minutes to like, what, the fucking 10 hour-plus episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised that they made it as much of a point as it did. But the original point I wanted to make about this movie is the fact that sex doesn't necessarily have to be important, and it's actually not that common to see things that discuss sex and sexuality and that as a part of personal identity as a core part of the story. The point of the HBO series is consciousness. The point of this is it's a cautionary tale, which is what sci-fi mostly was.
Yeah.
In the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It wasn't a way to discuss personal things. It was a way to discuss societal things more than anything.
Right.
So I see it as a natural evolution.
I guess the big difference between something like Westworld and something like Game of Thrones is I've never read the book Westworld, but I've read some of the Game of Thrones books, and the author, George R. R. Martin, already put in a lot of sexual stuff, and it's kind of weird when you're reading how in-depth he gets with it, but like, he does it just because...
Have you seen him? That's probably all he gets.
Yeah.
I'm not a Game of Thrones fan, but nothing against you, George R. Martin. Congratulations on your wild success.
And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Is this going to be like Mark Hamill again?
George R. Martin.
This is going to like show up 5 times in his email right now. So he already puts in all the sex. So I guess the Game of Thrones like series put in all the sex too. Just it doesn't really serve as big of a plot device as this.
I mean, the biggest plot device of sexuality that changes everything about the entire world and the story that we're watching is at the very beginning when Cersei and Jaime are having sex in the tower and push Bran off. Like, that's a huge point.
Even though Game of Thrones gets gratuitous, it's more about the relationships than the sex.
Yeah.
I think another way to characterize it would be that in Game of Thrones, sex is a plot device more often than in Westworld, where in Westworld, it's like part of an atmosphere that's like trying to characterize people.
Yeah,
I agree with you, Austin.
It's creating an emotional and psychological painting. Oh, boy.
Yeah,
I can see that. So I guess my last question to Laura would be, you kind of talked about how 7 of 9 can never truly love or else her Borg parts will just shut it down. Does she ever...
Rise right up.
Yeah, just...
Oh, my God, cut that. Please cut that. I don't know. I regret that immediately.
Do not cut that. I am sorry. So I just wanted to know, like, if they ever get to a point where she can be, like, 90% human, like, almost there, because obviously these robots aren't actually human. They're still like part bot, but like, is there ever like that moment where she transcends her Borgitude?
So I am on episode like 16 of 24 of season 7, and it's been about 4 years since I watched it before, and I just don't remember the answer to that question.
All right, well, what's a better question for me to ask you?
Oh, I
fuck
guess
you, Colin.
Not for me.
Yeah.
Not for me.
I don't know what else I can ask you, though.
I mean, you don't
Laura, she gets into a relationship with Chakotay.
I'm actually going to look this up because I'm curious about it now. Give me just like 2 seconds.
Here. One.
Have
them. Two.
Okay, I'm going to need a little bit more than that.
It's a cumulative 6 seconds because we all threw in 2.
Yeah.
That's how that works, right?
Okay.
They have a picnic in their forest.
So in the series finale, apparently, she's involved in a short-lived romantic relationship with Chakotay, which includes at least 3 dates and a first kiss after she alters the relationship parameters. However, in an alternate timeline, they get married, and another she's killed with the rest of the Voyager crew.
Spoilers!
alternate timelines.
But still.
So I think it did a very Star Trek thing where it gave all of the options.
But where, like, in one of those universes, how would they describe like her ability to fall in love then? Like, do they take her Borg parts out eventually?
No,
they alter them. The doctor worked with 7 of 9 to modify her ability to... It basically modified what the implant did to her system in those situations.
Right. So a lot of what she has to do is basically like reprogramming her implants. And...
So kind of like Maeve a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit like Maeve. So she went in, she changed her programming so that she could be just a little bit more human.
Oh, dude, you should see the episode where she gets drunk. That shit is funny.
Oh, it is
that
real
good.
That
would probably be hilarious. I'm very much looking forward to it. Maybe I'll start with Voyager. I won't start with Voyager. That was a joke, Colin.
Oh, God.
It was a joke. It was a joke.
I'll tell you about my sex life if you watch Next Gen first.
Okay.
Is that like a reward?
Is there anything since the last time you told me that's new?
He can't tell you that without...
Yes.
Oh! All
right. Colin's sex life.
That's not started. The episode title. Moving
I'll
on.
Get started. I'll get started. I'll get started. Thank you, everybody, for that enlightening conversation, especially Colin's sex life.
That's in the
it's
discussion.
Time to move on to the rating section, and I would like you all to rate this episode from 1 to 5 robot nipples.
I don't really want more than two robot nipples, though, if we're being totally honest here.
Okay, in the last episode, I didn't want any potatoes with molasses on them, but you gotta do it. You just gotta do it. It's either...
That's fair.
It's either you're rating it on robot nipples, or you're rating it on dead host bodies full of milk. Which is kind of the same, but...
Kind of the same as nipples.
It's up to you. Pick nipples or dead bodies full of milk.
Call me heteronormative, but nipples.
Yeah.
Austin, Laura, and Colin, let's do this.
I personally love Westworld. It's fucking awesome. I watched it a while ago. I think I watched it about this time last year in school when I was procrastinating on some philosophy homework. So like it was
procrastinate all over it.
Ooh. Anyway, so I'm gonna give it. Honestly, it's just a really good show. I think, you know, I can
just
go
with
for
your heart.
It. This is my first 5 out of 5 nipples.
Yes! 5 nipples! Let's go. It's like a normal person and then that alien from Total Recall.
Yeah, I was about to say Total Recall got nothing on this.
It's a really good show. I really loved it the first time I watched it. Like, I saw some of this kind of stuff going on where, I did pay some attention to the
nipples.
I mean, it's really hard not to.
They're all over the place. It's hard not to pay attention to the nipples, Jeff.
God damn it, Jeff!
So, Jeff, what do you think about Westworld?
But no, I really enjoyed the acting, the writing.
The nipples were just shown so well. The framing of the nipples,
you got to see full frontal nudity on a lot of people.
Totally agree.
Yeah, but they're all robots.
Robot whores. Okay. We're not going to have any of Jeff's audio, so we're not going
to
be able to respond to this.
Talk about Westworld for a sec.
No,
I would rate Westworld
we'll
a 5 out of 5, personally. I really liked it. I thought it was great.
No,
5 out of 5 nipples, yeah.
Or bodies full of bullet holes and milk.
We're just talking to nobody right now.
Yeah. I'm recording it. I've got it right here.
Fuck off, Jeff.
On the other hand, the concept of sexuality, I think is highly overrated. I'm going to go a 1 out of 5 on sexuality. 1 out of 5 nipples.
Go away, Jeff.
Okay, bye. I love you guys.
I like talking about consciousness and the examination of sexual behavior is something, isn't it?
Alrighty. Well, thank you very much for the first 5 out of 5. I love you, Austin Cakes. You're my favorite. You hear that, Colin? He's my favorite.
Yeah, you keep rubbing it in my goddamn face.
In your 2 to 5 nipples?
Anywhere on a range.
In a range. All
right. As long as it's more than
so
one.
So, I also really fucking love Westworld. It's so good. He had us rewatch, and by he, I mean Pat, had us watch episodes 5 and 10 with the idea that we'd be talking a little bit more specifically in depth in them. And I watched 5, and I was like, fuck yes, episode 6. Shit, I have 1 hour before I have to go to sleep. So, I watched episode 5, and then I watched episode 10, and I was so sad that I didn't get to watch everything in the middle. So, that is what I will be doing tonight.
Ooh.
So, I am a little sad about having to jump around because there are things that I had forgotten that I got to rewatch, and it's just as good the second time around.
You notice more things
and more
you start
clues.
To learn what the other person likes.
Anyway, so Westworld is really great, and I thought that your introduction really brought it to a place that I wasn't necessarily expecting. I think you had a much more specific vision in mind that was actually much more related to my domain than I expected it to be. So for that reason, I will also be giving Westworld a 5 out of 5 nipples because it's just real good.
Hey!
How do we all have so many nipples to give?
We're at 10 nipples right now.
I have cats. I can basically pluck nipples off my cats like a tree. So.
Oh god, that was the worst thing I've ever heard.
You don't just keep jars of nipples in your bathroom?
Alright, I'm gonna do my rating now.
Colin,
so...
they're supposed to stay on! I don't know why you're taking them off your poor cats!
I mean, their knuckles are supposed to stay on too, but people take those off their cats.
Yeah, and that's barbaric.
Yep, that's terrible. Don't do that. Don't declaw your cats. Let them scratch you up. You've earned it.
Declaw!
Westworld, okay, so Game of Thrones is HBO's big show, and when I heard about Westworld and saw what was going on, I'm like, it's gonna be like Game of Thrones. I don't really like Game of Thrones that much. It's not my cup of orgy. And I was watching Westworld and I was like, wait, this is so much more up my alley. It's based on BioShock and Red Dead Redemption. They used video games to help build out the mechanics of the world. It's all about consciousness and bleeding edge high concept sci-fi based on real bleeding edge psychology theories. And it's really interesting start to finish. Now, I have a different view of the show now that I've watched the original movie. And that view is still 5 out of 5, because both are fucking awesome.
Wait, is it nipples or bodies full of bullet holes and milk?
Okay,
In the original, I would definitely say bodies full of bullet holes, but we ain't rating the original, we rating in motherfucking nipples.
specifically motherfucking nipples. I'm a little upset because Chowder got the first 5 out of 5 across all three last time in the last episode, so this is a little bit less.
But this is the highest nipple count.
This is the highest nipple count, and I will raise this nipple count to the heavens!
I do want to
encourage you guys. That's 15 nipples, guys.
Please, at the very least, watch the original Westworld just so you can understand how great the cutaways to that bald guy are. He's my favorite part of the movie. Hands down. Like, that needed to be in the new show. Like, just fucking paste that clip in from the original movie. I don't care if it's grainy. It's fine.
Yeah.
Cool.
So how did we do this week?
You guys did so fucking well, man. Like, I didn't expect Colin's domain at all, obviously, because he kept it a secret until right now.
We should have known.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't realize.
Because I forgot that there was a Westworld movie, honestly. Like, I didn't know. But I thought everybody did fantastically, and it's going to be kind of hard to give out this Gold Star Student Award.
You could just flip a three-sided nipple.
Anyway, I'm not going to do that, because that's stupid.
Okay. Yeah,
but
that's fine.
I'm going to give one of you the golden shit. What's that fucking thing called? William finds the maze thing. So you're gonna get a golden one of those things.
Maze thing.
Just because I want to tell you all the fuck off. So I'm gonna give this to none other than Laura.
Yay! The drought has been broken.
Oh no.
That's too perfect for this episode.
I'm really upset that Voyager just got a gold star.
Voyager,
you have
got
to admit though that I did a pretty
fucking
good job,
star. You did a great job. Thanks. So even though you didn't even know that I was gonna relate it to this, more specifically to something closely to what you just brought up, it was very fantastic, and I applaud you for your comments, and I applaud you for taking Austin's question and just rolling with it on your own to the point where I couldn't even come up with a better question to ask you after that.
Boom.
So that is why you get the gold maze with a dude in the middle.
Awesome. Well, thanks for choosing an awesome fucking topic. I literally am going to go watch like 7 hours of Westworld right now.
Westworld is fantabulous,
so
and I don't know why it took me so long. 89
minutes of Westworld, directed by Michael Crichton.
Do that tomorrow.
Michael Crichton. All right, we should wrap this biggity bad boy up.
Yeah.
Thank you all for joining me on this fabulous Friday evening. I am again your host, Patrick Brehm, and this week's topic was sexuality and nudity in the HBO series Westworld and how it relates to humanity. You can check out Westworld on HBO Go, HBO Now, HBO itself. Our next episode will be hosted by none other than...
This is me, right? Next episode is going to be another special episode. It's going to be a fight, a duel, a battle, fisticuffs with words.
Ooh.
Words to cuffs.
Yeah, I'm going to be the arbiter of the duel between Jeffrey and Timewool on the subject of which Pokemon remakes are better.
Well, that sounds very interesting. Be sure to read up on, or I guess just not read, just go play the fucking games, the Pokemon games, to figure out which one you think is best, and listen up on November 10th to figure out if your favorite wins the versus episode. So go play all those Pokemon games to completion, get every single Pokemon.
Catch them all.
Before November 10th. if... Any of you want to contact us, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Geeking Program or email us at commongeekingprogram@gmail.com. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a review. I did not see a single new review since the last one, so none of you get a fucking shout out.
But we will shout you out amorously if you give us one.
Please.
We're whores.
Leaving a review is a great way to get more people to find our show, and if you actually like us, rather than me berating you, you could have me praising your existence. So, if you want to know more, go to commongeekingprogram.com. You can read up on all of us, and that's fucking fantastic. So, yeah, awesome. Thanks. Sex.
And as we know, the porn is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah. Of the D-holder.
Right.
It's the D-holder. This episode of the Common Geeking Program was hosted by Patrick Brehm. He was joined by Austin Liebers, Laura Kramer, and Colin Ketchin. This episode is sponsored by my sex life, apparently. Thanks, guys. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by me, Colin Ketchin, along with Laura Kramer and Austin Liebers, and featuring original music by me. Now, we'll be back next week with another episode. Austin will be hosting a Versus episode. Be sure to listen to that 1 week from today. We are going to be taking a small break soon, and we will give you more information on that shortly. But for now, I just want to say thank you for listening to this.
How do you not know?
Yeah, that's because like what he's known for. I'm
this,
sorry.
This might have to be cut from the podcast. I've never seen Jurassic Park.
What?
Even I've seen Jurassic Park, Colin.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No, I've never seen it.
I feel like at this point you shouldn't go back. It's like it's almost too late for you now.
But Laura, we have to go back.
We have to go back, Kate.
See, right. I didn't see Jurassic Park for a really long time because for some reason the book of Jurassic Park was on the bookshelf in my third grade teacher's classroom, and I read it in third grade.
All right.
And I had a lot of dinosaur nightmares.
Yeah, it's not meant for a fucking third grade person.
That's fantastic.